Remember that? Just found that up here. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. So many things on my heart. As we sat and sang the songs of Zion this morning, I was reminded again of the rich heritage that we have. And we just reach out in front of us and pull it out, and there we've got 1,000 songs in our hands. Amen. God Himself is present, written in 1100 AD. Eternal Father, Thou dwellest in this house of clay. I guess I was just gripped with that again. You know, the Scripture commands us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another with them. Well, we have surely done that this morning, haven't we? These beautiful songs, may we never get away from them. May we ever be challenged to find our heart in the depth of those songs. And sometimes we don't find our heart in the depths of those songs. Then let us be challenged where we are. I'd like us this morning to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I have a bit of an unusual title this morning. The title of my message is, It's Sunday Morning. It's Sunday Morning. This phrase can be expressed in many ways, with many different attitudes. And it's very possible that I'll touch on every one of these in the heart of someone in this room this morning. It's very possible. It's Sunday morning. I don't know if that little phrase rings in your heart, but it has in my heart for many, many years. It's Sunday morning. Amen. It can be said with enthusiasm and the utmost joy as you get up on Sunday morning and rub the sleep out of your eyes and wake up and realize what day it is. And all of a sudden that joy rises in your heart. It's Sunday morning. Bless God. It's Sunday morning. Or it can be said with a bit of relief, you know, like someone finding an oasis out on the desert somewhere. Ah, it's Sunday again. Amen? It can be said with dread by those whose conscience is tormented because of unresolved issues in their life, yet they have to be here. And so it's, oh no, it's Sunday morning again. It can be said with obligation by one who's complacent and has other things to do, and their mind is on many other things, and they've got more to do than they can get done, and It can be said that way, just out of obligation. Oh, it's Sunday again. And it can be said in desperation by one who is hurting, or maybe they've lost their way and they think, oh, it's Sunday. Maybe I'll get some help today for my desperate need. Yes, it's Sunday morning, isn't it? And it means a lot of things to a lot of different people in all our many walks of life. But it's Sunday morning. And I thank God for that. I have a church to go to. And I get to go there. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul admonishes us this way, reading from verse 22 through 26. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised." Amen. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." It's Sunday morning, and it's very important that we be here. It's very important that we be here. And this is not a message on coming to church. It's a lot deeper than that. Verse 24, if I could just read it to you, how it is amplified in the Amplified Translation. Verse 24 reads this way, "Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Let us study how we may stir up, that is, stimulate and incite one another to love and helpful deeds and noble activities." That's Sunday morning, isn't it? Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. That's all of us, amen? Watching over one another. That we might study how we may stir up and stimulate and incite one another to love and to helpful deeds and noble activities. This morning, I'd like to address several aspects of our gathered life. I know there are many, many aspects of church life, and we could cover lots of subjects this morning, but I would just like for us to ponder a bit the aspects of our gathered life. The times when we choose to assemble ourselves together. Those times when we choose to get together as brothers and sisters in Christ. It could be on Sunday morning like this. It could be a Saturday morning prayer meeting, as many of us gather here at 5 o'clock. It could be special meetings when we get together with others or in another church building somewhere. Or it could even be a small assembly that you may have in your house on a Sunday evening. Just gathering a few together, or a Sunday afternoon fellowship after the service is over. And you go home to someone's home and have a meal together and sit around the living room and share. Could be any of those applications. These times are designed by God in His wisdom to be some of the most meaningful and rewarding and enlightening times in our Christian lives. Yes, it's Sunday morning, isn't it? And I can confess to having all these attitudes at times when I look back over all the years of my Christian life. Sometimes, yes, Sunday morning was a sigh of relief after a long, dusty trail of a week. Other times, Sunday morning was a conviction to my conscience as I realized things aren't quite right in my heart today. Sometimes it's been a desperate plea that God would touch me today and meet my need. But I would have to say that for the most part, my testimony is attitude number one. It's Sunday morning. Bless God. I get to go to church today. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to happen. I know it's going to be good. I know blessings are going to be there. I know God's going to enlighten my heart. I know my heart's going to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. I know I'm going to be edified. I know I'm going to have opportunity to minister to others. I know somebody may wash my feet today. It's Sunday morning. Glory! What a joy!
Psalm 84, if you want to turn there with me, so beautifully expresses my heart. And I found my heart in Psalm 84 many, many times as I thought about gathering together with the people of God. How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God that I'm going to meet when I go to church. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will be still praising Thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filling the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God. Behold, O God, our shield. And look upon the face of Thine anointed. For a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. And there are many other places we could read in the Scriptures which express the heart of God's people as they ponder the opportunity they have to come together with one another. Some of us have traveled this week and have stories to tell from that. Some of us have faced a tragedy this week and we want to be able to share that with someone else. Some of us come with a dry heart, a thirsty soul, longing for the courts of the Lord on Sunday morning. Others come overflowing with joy and splash it out on everyone else that is there. Some come bursting with a new account of God's gracious work in their heart and their life. And many other things also. All this comes together into one place on Sunday morning. Amen. We have all come together to worship our God and to fellowship with Him and with one another. We are a body, aren't we?
that has collected itself together in one place to care for itself, to edify itself in love. Yes, it's Sunday morning and the potential is tremendous as we sit here this morning. And I'm not preaching down on anyone this morning. Sunday morning is a sweet and a blessed experience for me coming here all these many years. But you know what, brothers and sisters? There's so much more that we could have on Sunday morning. So much more. I wonder how we see the assembly this morning. Is it just a place where we come to hear a sermon, sing some songs, and go our way? Is it the place where we gather to fulfill an obligation? Is it the place where we know that we should come? Because what will people say? And maybe they'll ask me why I wasn't there. So I'm there to take my place and show my face so that everything will be acceptable. What is Sunday morning? It's a challenge to every one of us. Is it just a place to hear a sermon? No, it's way more than that. Reading a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 4, we get the picture of a body. Sunday morning is a body gathering itself together, having been scattered in many different places, having gone through many different experiences, having faced all kinds of different situations, some good, some bad, some blessings, some trouble. Some come dry, some come full. Sunday morning, it's a body gathering itself together in one place. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Here Paul describes the body of Christ as a body which is fitly framed together. That's this piece and this piece and this person and this person. All, may I say it this way, so beautifully, fitly framed together by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Fitly framed together. And compacted by that which every joint supplies. We are tied together by the very fact that we supply one another's needs. And the more that we, by the grace of God, supply one another's needs, that much more we are compacted together. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Not some of the parts. Every part. Oh, the glorious mysteries of God manifested in body life every Sunday morning. I wonder how many stories we could tell this morning if we would give the opportunity of that individual or this one who came and just in a miraculous way God did something in their life through someone else that they didn't even expect. Oh, the glorious, mysterious work of God in body life. It brings this verse to my mind, which has already been quoted sometime here this morning. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Paul, speaking here in the book of Ephesians,
expresses the church as the body of Christ. And I don't believe that he's just using an illustration of a body, but he is in fact speaking the reality of what is happening, and to the degree that each and every one in this room is connected to the head of the body, to that degree this body functions in a beautiful way and is compacted together and edifies itself in love. Beautiful things happen when God's people gather together. It's just like our body, this physical body. We gather together maybe in the evening after a busy, trying day. And we sit down and we gather things together and we gather our thoughts together and we reevaluate who we are and maybe we've got a sore muscle and maybe we cut our finger, you know, while we were working, and we gather ourselves together at the end of the day. Or it's just like the body in the morning. We gather ourselves together. We get up out of our bed and we wash our face and we comb our hair and we get alone somewhere and we take some time to gather ourselves together again and we ponder the things of God and we prepare our hearts and we prepare ourselves to go forth for a whole day. Well, that's exactly what we're doing here this morning. We've gathered ourselves together that we might evaluate, that we might cleanse ourselves, that we might encourage ourselves, that we might prepare ourselves to go forth for another week in the kingdom building process. That's what we're about. I was thinking of ways to illustrate how all this works. You know, you don't all have to come to church strong on Sunday morning. That's not reality. We live in a real world. Maybe you came today and maybe you're tired today, and that's okay if you're tired. Somebody else is full of energy and they're going to pass some on to you. Maybe you came today and you cut your finger and you need some healing. That's all right. Somebody is waiting and ready to pour a little oil on the wound and let it be healed. You know, when I'm running through the airports, I carry this big briefcase, you know, and you know, this briefcase is heavy. It's got a big thick Bible in it, and it's got two or three other books in it, and it's got a notepad in it, and it's got lots of papers in it, and it's got a PDA in it, and a whole bunch of pens and pencils and all those things, and it's heavy. And sometimes you have to go about a half a mile from one terminal to the next to catch a plane, and you know, I find myself running through the airport holding onto this bag, and this arm can't handle the whole roll. So the left hand says to the right hand, "How are you doing?" And the right hand says, "I don't know if I can carry this bag any longer." And the left hand says to the right hand, "Hey, let me carry it for a while." And the right hand says, "Shoo!" And the left hand gets a hold of the bag and keeps right on going down the thoroughway. That's exactly how the body works, isn't it? The left hand isn't upset at the right hand because the right hand is tired of carrying the bag. "Here, I'll carry it for a while." And over to the left hand it goes with a thank you. And we keep on going. It's just like that, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We come together on Sunday morning. We come with who knows what we faced this last week. But oh, blessed be God, Sunday morning is coming. Amen. Or Wednesday night. Or Sunday night. Or the prayer meeting on Saturday morning. These things that we're going to speak about, they take place in all of those settings. I believe the early church was an assembly of spiritual men and women living under an open heaven, offering up spiritual sacrifices and edifying itself in love. That's the way it was in the early church. Paul had it right when he said, "We are seated together
in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning, we do believe in the spiritual priesthood of all believers. Amen. God may use you today in some very special way that no preacher getting up behind a pulpit could ever do. God may do that through you today. We are lively stones connected to the living cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And the times where we gather together should be vital times of ministry, and that we should lift up the eyes of our heart, that we would see it just like that. It's Sunday morning. I wonder how God would have me to bless someone else today. Yes, it's Sunday morning and the potential is tremendous. May the Lord deliver us from putting on church on Sunday morning and going through the same old motions week by week. Preparation for Sunday morning takes place all week long. We all bring to this meeting all that God has been doing in our hearts and our lives for the whole week behind us. We bring it to this place. And my personal opinion is, there should be a bit of a concentrated time on Saturday evening or early Sunday morning where most of us begin to quiet ourselves and gather ourselves together, and that thought begins to rise in our heart. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Ah, yes, Sunday morning. The sermon. Sunday morning. The singing. Sunday morning, Lord. What about me, Lord? What will you do in my heart today? What about me, Lord? What will the need be today? Who will I find who needs my help, my encouragement, some insight that you've given to me, my testimony, or maybe my confession of my failure? My personal opinion is, Saturday evening or early Sunday morning, our heart should be rising like that. Preparation for Sunday morning takes place all week long in the workings of God in all of all the lives of the believers, and then it just kind of overflows to everyone else. I thought about the illustration there in Exodus chapter 36. I think it would be good for us just to turn there. It's a beautiful picture of what it can be like on Sunday morning. In Exodus chapter 36, we're looking at the situation where Moses and the people of God are beginning to build the tabernacle. God is working through the people of God in many different ways to build Himself a dwelling place, a tabernacle in the wilderness. Reading from verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Isn't that beautiful? God does that here too. He puts into all manner of men and women wisdom and understanding, that which they need according to what will be needed for the service of the sanctuary. And Moses called
Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. There's that preparation. Amen? There's that preparation all through the week, but more so on Saturday evening or Sunday morning. God stirred up the hearts of some, and they prepared themselves to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had wrought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him freewill offerings every morning. Every morning they're bringing more offerings. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, if I can just take that little Old Testament illustration and bring it into the New Testament context, for we are the tabernacle of God. We are the dwelling place of the living God. Here in the Old Testament, they were so excited about the work of the sanctuary. They were so enthused about building a dwelling place for God to be in, that they just came. Every day they came bringing more, and they were in their houses weaving things and molding things and making things out of gold and bringing all these things to the men who were assembling it all together to make the tabernacle. And finally these men had to come to Moses and say, whoa! What a good problem to have. Whoa! The people bring too much. More than we need for all of this. You know, I get the picture there of a people who are overflowing with desire and willingness and activity to build the sanctuary of God. Now, when we look at that in the New Testament, that translates into encouraging one another and provoking one another to love and to good works and to noble deeds. When you translate that into the New Testament, that translates into a spiritual brotherhood and sisterhood, a brotherhood and sisterhood of priests who come together, lively stones, to minister to one another, to bring all that they have and all that God has done for them and all the things that they've been through and the wisdom they've gained and the insights of their own life and the blessings that God has brought upon them. Bring them all together to let them overflow on everyone else to the building of the sanctuary on Sunday morning. And oh, what a blessed problem that is when you've got so many of them that are overflowing and they've got something to say that you finally have to say, whoa! Every now and then, I've been in a place like that. What a blessed problem that is for a pastor. When you have so many people who have something to say, you have so many of them have a song to call, you have so many of them that want to get up on their feet and overflow with what God is doing in their life, that you have to say, whoa, we've got to go on with the service. We are living stones connected to the living cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen. God was using all of these willing offerers to prepare Himself a dwelling place, and so also today. Wow! It's Sunday morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 says it this way. If you want to turn there, you can. Otherwise, I'll just read it. But in Ephesians 2 and verse 21 and 22, it says, in whom, and that in whom is in Christ, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom, that is in Christ, Ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That takes place, brothers and sisters, in many ways. But I'm telling you this morning, it takes place on Sunday morning. Building together a habitation of God through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God in me. The Spirit of God in all of us, building a habitation, a place where God can dwell. Oh, that's beautiful. It's Sunday morning. More than enough. What a blessing. If when we assemble together there were so many brothers and sisters bubbling over, willing to give, that we had to stay it. Think about the Old Testament sacrifices just for a moment. Which, by the way, they typify New Testament church life. The burnt offering is a picture of salvation and a fresh look at Calvary. Oh my, we need that on Sunday morning, don't we? A fresh look at Calvary and a glorious fresh salvation. Nothing blesses a congregation more than a fresh salvation in our midst. What about the meal offering? The meal offerings were consecration offerings where new dedications take place. Oh, that's Sunday morning, isn't it? New dedications to God. Deeper dedications, as we were challenged this morning by Brother Daniel. The peace offerings are the praise and thanksgiving offerings that they brought their offerings and offered them to the Lord, and it was a praise and a thanksgiving offering, and with the thanksgiving and the praise offerings you offered it to God, but you also got some for yourself, and that's exactly the way it is when you praise and thank God. God gets some, but you also get some for yourself. Amen. I mean, it'll lift you right out of the mully grub so fast you won't know what happened to you. That's the Thanksgiving offering. God gets some and you get to eat some also. And then, yes, there is the sin offering too, that where transgression took place. And from time to time, that also needs to happen on Sunday morning. When we are one of those troubled consciences and we walk through the door on Sunday morning and we think, oh, it's Sunday morning. Can I get through this service? And God, in His loving kindness and graciousness, touches our heart and somehow grants repentance to us. And we find ourselves at an altar or downstairs in a counseling room cleaning it all up. That's Sunday morning. Think about the Old Testament furniture in the temple or in the tabernacle. We have an altar. That's where sacrifices are made. There's a laver. That's there for washing. There's the table of showbread. That's for eating. There's the candlestick. They give forth more light. And there's the altar of incense. And that signifies prayer to God. All of these things happen on Sunday morning. And I thought about it as I looked down through the offerings and thought about, okay, the altar and the showbread and candlestick and altar of incense. And most of those illustrations that I just described, they all take fire. They all take fire. And I believe it's the will of God that every one of us bring a fire with us on Sunday morning. Now that's the will of God. I know. Maybe you came and your arm is tired because you've been carrying that bag all week long. Hey, that's okay. Somebody else has got a strong arm and they'll pick up that bag and go with it. But I believe it's God's will that we come with a fire. Because when you come with a fire, you can offer sacrifices. Burnt offerings and meal offerings and peace offerings and sin offerings. You can go to the altar and sacrifice. You can bake some bread to have something to eat. You can shine a light in some new area and learn something and be illuminated by the Spirit of God. You can offer up prayers at the altar of incense. They all take fire.
And that's something that every one of us can bring on Sunday morning, isn't it? We can all bring fire. A nice little heart full of the flame of God within each one of us. And oh, I tell you what a blessed Sunday morning that is when everyone brings their own fire. Amen. You know, there are times when we're just a taker. That's all there is to it. We come to church and we think, man, I am so needy today. I mean, church is an oasis to me. I can't wait to get there. I sure hope somebody can minister to my dry or hurting heart. Sometimes we are takers. And that's also in the wisdom of God that He brings the body together. And the body, some places are cut and some places are wounded and some places are weak and tired. But other places are strong and healthy. And all that works together in a mysterious way. And the body edifies itself in love. You see, there's something very beautiful when this hand reaches out to this hand and heals a wound on it. Amen? This hand never despises this hand if there's a wound on it. No. No, it lovingly covers the wound, washes it, puts some salve on it, puts a band-aid on it. The body edifying itself in love. See, that's how it all works. So sometimes we come and we're just a taker. That's just the way it is. But I believe that God would have us all move in the direction to be a giver on Sunday morning. What can I give? What can I bring as an offering and a sacrifice? What can I bring to add to the meeting this morning? What can I bring? And I want to bless you this morning. I want to bless you for being on time. God bless you. But that's something you can bring. Did you know that? You can come on time. You can get here early. You can do that. And I bless you for doing that. It is changing our Sunday morning. I don't know if you realize it, but it is changing our Sunday morning service. And I want to bless you for coming to the prayer meeting on Saturday morning. That affects this service. Guaranteed. It does. So how can we prepare our hearts and what can we do and, you know, how can we bring our offering to the Sunday morning service? Well, one thing you can do is you can pray. I mean, if you do pray, if you do effectually pray, I guarantee you, you will walk through the door on Sunday morning with a keen interest in what is going to happen. Amen? I mean, that's a given. If you've been praying, if you prayed on Monday, if you prayed on Wednesday, if you prayed on Friday night, if you found yourself praying again on Saturday morning, you're going to come on Sunday morning just like this. Lord, what are you going to do? What are you going to do today? And you can pray even while you sit here this morning. You can be doing that. You can be lifting up your heart in prayer to God even while you sit here. You know, I may be a fool. And I know that I am a fool many times. But I may be a fool, but I was dreaming the other day again. I was dreaming of a church that is a house of prayer. I was dreaming. I was dreaming of an assembly of brothers and sisters who pack those prayer meetings on Sunday morning and come out early Saturday morning and get alone with God. I mean, I was dreaming about a prayer meeting going on up here and one going on downstairs. I dreamed of the regular prayer meeting down there in the
room we call the prayer room, and I was dreaming of another one because there was too many to pray over in the couch room. They're over there praying also. It's Sunday morning! And we need God's help! I was even dreaming of a church that prays so much that when they gather together on Sunday afternoon and they've been fellowshipping and they've been eating together and sharing with one another before they leave, they say, "Hey, let's just have a prayer meeting before you go." And everybody falls on their knees one more time and cries out to God for 20 or 30 minutes before they go on their way. You can pray. That's something we can do. You can worship. You can come with a worshiping heart on Sunday morning. And I know sometimes we don't have that. Sometimes it's been tough. And I understand that. And I'm not faulting you. I recognize there is that. But because there is that, all the more reason for those who have not faced a difficult week to come with a flame of fire in their heart, a worshiping heart, a heart that wants to kiss the sun. Amen? If you do that, you will sanctify this meeting on Sunday morning. If you can come and release your spirit to worship God, when that song leader gets up there and calls that song, you're right there ready to go and your heart soars heavenward. You find that eternal heavenly magnet that's got a hold of your hand that pulls it up on the first song. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, sometimes you can't keep it down. It just goes up. You can come with a worshiping heart to adore and praise and extol your God. You can do that. Come singing. Come singing wholeheartedly. Children, this is something that you can do. Listen to me for a minute. One of the sweetest sounds in my ears is to hear the sound of a child that's singing with all their heart. No adult thinks you're weird. We love it. Boys, sing! Lift up your voice to God. The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sometimes I think we're so worried about staying just right in tune and harmony that we lose that wholeheartedness of singing. Boys, sing. God wants you to sing. You can sing with your whole heart. That's something that every one of us can do. Just going down through the service. You can pray. You can be praying all through the service. You know, man gets up here to lead in prayer. There's two things you can do. You can say, "He's praying, I'll listen." Or you can engage your heart into the very heart of those words that are being said. Amen? And we've done both, haven't we? Let's be honest, haven't we? You can engage your heart in the very heart of that one who's praying. And then it's not one man leading in prayer, it's a whole congregation praying, crying to God. Remember, prayer is the language of the poor. During the preaching and the teaching, you can give your holy attention to what is being said. And if you do, you will affect the preacher. I guarantee you will affect the preacher, the teacher, if you give your undivided attention to what is being said. You can do that. You can affect the whole service just by opening up your eyes and having a heart that is attentive and wanting to listen. You can do that. Every one of us can do that. And I thought about it this morning. You know, we kind of lost family verses and songs around here. They got lost. But you know, some of the most powerful times that I've seen in assembly life came
when a little family got up here behind the little podium and had a little time of sharing with the congregation. Anybody else remember some of those times? Yeah, we kind of lost that, didn't we? I've been touched by a little child more than by the sermon. There have been times when it was my turn to get up to preach after that little child spoke, and the words of that little child and the purity of their sweet, young, innocent heart just turned my attention completely and prepared me to preach and minister. It's Sunday morning. I wonder what God wants to do in me, through you, today. You know, the service moves on from there to a time of open sharing. Oh, that is a powerful time. That's a powerful time. You can add to the message. You can balance the message. You can exhort the people. You can stand up and give a testimony. You can make a confession. You can express a struggle that you've been having. And I've seen a whole service change total direction by one person who stood, who had the courage to stand and say something. I've watched it for many years. You know, you kind of throw it open. Okay, anybody have anything to share? Then all, one courageous soul lifts their hand. They get the mic in their hand, and that causes another one. And they share, and that causes another one, and another one, and another one. And all of a sudden, before you know it, 20 minutes went by. But oh, God bless that courageous first hand that went up. Amen. God wants to use you, brother, sister. God wants to use you. This is not a preaching service. This is a body gathering itself together on the first day of the week to care for itself, to edify itself, to prepare itself for another week out ahead of us. And we're all part of the body, aren't we? And then I think also of the fellowship after the service is over, which in my opinion, the service is not over when you say the amen. Because then all that just means the public part of the service is over, where someone was leading and someone was giving a message, and all of that is over, but the service isn't over. No, we just moved into one more realm of the service, and now it's the body edifying itself. It's you sharing with this brother. It's you confessing to this sister. It's this one reaching out to this little boy, and on it can go for an hour and sometimes an hour and a half after the service is over. That's the body edifying itself in love. It's beautiful. Sometimes just for joy, I'll just stand back in the corner and watch it for 15 minutes. It's beautiful to behold. It's the body edifying itself. Reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23, we have some beautiful scriptures here. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, that's what we're doing today, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and that word prophesy there is prophesy in a general term. It's not the word that is used for speaking forth into the future like Isaiah did, but it's rather it's speaking forth the mind and will of God in the unction of the Holy Ghost. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. It's
See, God wants to use us that way also, doesn't He? That someone who will come in among us will just say, "How did you know that I was coming today? How did you know what to say? That was exactly what I needed to hear. God is in this place." Some time ago, I was in a place where, in the beginning of the service, with an opening, one brother had an opening, maybe 20 minutes. And from that opening, the service just opened up spontaneously with exhortations and prayer and songs and praise and confessions and then prayer for the ones who confessed. And it's like 30 minutes went by and everything was just kind of functioning all on its own. Nobody planned any of it except there was one man saying, "Would you pray for so and so?" And some, and other than that, the people were calling songs out. "Let's sing this song in light of that testimony." And "Would you pray for so and so who just confessed their need?" And this just took off in the middle of the meeting. Hallelujah! And when the meeting was over, there was a visitor there who had just come to spy out the land and see what this church is all about. And the visitor came up to me and said, "Brother Denny, I saw what happened here this morning. Is that okay?"
"Is that okay?" "Yes, it's okay. It's what we want. It's where we're going. It's the longing of our hearts."
"Oh, for such a lively body that time again the preacher just says, 'There's no time to preach today. The body has edified itself. I don't need to give my sermon.'" Paul said, and I believe it was Paul, Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, "Ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." I do believe we have so much more that God would do in our midst as we press on in grace, as we prepare our hearts for what God would do with us on a Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning. It may be that you came today with joy and enthusiasm in your heart. It may be today that it was that second one, you know, that relief. Oh, an oasis in the middle of a dry desert. It may be that that was the one that related to you today. It may be that you came with dread and a troubled conscience. Or it may be that you just came to put in your time today and you want to get this out of the way so you can get back to those other things that you have to do. Or it may be that you came today with a withered hand and you need help. You came with a prayer under your breath saying, "Lord, oh Lord, would you somehow meet my need today?" It's Sunday morning. May God lift the eyes of our heart up higher and cause to settle down on all of us our tremendous privilege and responsibility when we gather together Sunday morning. Amen. May God bless.
First Corinthians chapter 12. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Are you a believer this morning? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to you. And the context here is the gifts of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit and the giftings that come along with that is given to every man to profit withal. And he goes on and he says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and it goes on and on down through there. But let's remember, if we are a believer, if we are a child of God, the Spirit, how does it say again? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every child of God, to profit withal. To profit, to make profit of that talent that's been given you. Do not bury. Amen. Thank you, Brother Denny. All right, I'll just open it up at this time. Let's be a body. Let's share together. If there's confessions, if there's need of prayer, if there's testimonies, what God has been doing in your life that may edify another brother or sister. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians that if when we go through trials and tribulations, we can comfort one another by the same through the same comfort that we've received of the Holy Spirit when we went through that trial. So let's minister to one another as a body this morning, through our testimonies and sharing and confessions and so forth. Go ahead, Robert.
I just would like to say what a blessing it is
testimony.
To come every Saturday morning just to pray for other people, to hear other people's burdens, just like we're talking about. And to do this because God wants us to do it from our heart. Not anything that we do for our flesh, but just to serve the Lord in another manner that fulfills someone else's burdens. I mean, it's a blessing to hear other people's burdens and how their hearts are hurting and how they're out there trying to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. And to me, it just feels good that people are praying for me. And I think we have the obligation because of God to pray for others. It's such a blessing. And I'm not asking for people to come on Saturday, but your heart would want you to come. God would want you to come. You know, I'm not begging here, but God can do anything for us in our heart. And He works on us constantly because He loves us. And I just feel it's an honor to have Jesus Christ in my life. And I just thank every brother and sister that prays for me and everybody in here that loves God. And that's why we're here. Because we can become closer to God. He can purify us every day. He makes us want us what He wants us to be because He loves us. So it's an honor to have Jesus Christ. And it's an honor to tell people about Jesus Christ. So I thank you very much for this sermon today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. Amen. Jeremy, get your hands up if you desire to share.
I was tremendously blessed this morning with Brother Daniel's message. Thank you so much. I was just sitting here and thinking, and, you know, Lord, what are you going to say to me today? And God ministered to me through the opening, a couple verses there that really hit me right where right what I needed. The Lord just ministered to me. And then, Brother Danny, also what you shared, you know, I find myself also sometimes there is that enthusiasm of, yes, it's Sunday morning. Praise God, we can go to church and we can come and worship the Lord. But then other times it's, I've had a long week. You know, it's, there are those times. But thank you so much for sharing and preaching the word with us. I was very challenged, but also very fulfilled and inspired with the messages this morning. It was just what I needed. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You know, it's been amazing to me through the years. I've come in that same way that you have expressed, Jeremy, you know, where you just feel maybe drained in your spiritual life. And I can come into a service without a brother or sister saying a word to me, and my spirit begins to be lifted up just by being in the presence of God's people and where His Spirit dwells. Bless God for His body. Go ahead, Brother Timothy.
I was very blessed this morning as well and challenged. And the one of the main points was there in what Daniel shared about just a life that's surrendered and concerning the future and everything that God has for me. And I feel like that's really what I'm facing at this point. There's a lot of things where I'm not sure what God wants for me in the future. And I would desire your prayers in that. I was also very challenged with what Brother Denny shared and how to come to church prepared to give. And that is my desire. I want to go for that. Thank you.
Amen. Others? Back there's a hand.
I just want to also thank God for the word this morning and for lifting up a vision to us. I think if we're honest, we can all say that that's not yet where we are in its fullness. We really aren't. And yet for not being afraid, Brother Denny, to lift up a standard, it wasn't in a condemning way. It was in an anticipating way. But nonetheless, to say, this is where we need to go. And I'm blessed with that. I was thinking about another verse in Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I was also thinking about the verse in James that says, if we humble ourselves under the hand of the Lord, He'll lift us up. And He gives grace to the humble. And I just have such a desire in my heart. And maybe it's just because we each come from our own unique background, but I would just have a desire as a brotherhood we could get honest and say, so what does it take? What does it take to have a service like we heard about this morning? What do we need to? Where do we need to go? Where do we need to go to have a house of prayer? What are we going to give up before we get there? Are we going to not let God go till we have it? And if we can't do it as a brotherhood, maybe we're too big. Then just two or three brothers, like Brother Emmanuel, admonished us in our last brothers meeting there. And that's what my heart is. To not let go till God come. And Psalm 50 says, our God shall come and shall not keep silent. And it's just like we heard this morning, up to us whether we're going to be the chosen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Where's Ann?
I was very, very blessed with the message and the devotional this morning. There was something mentioned about having a time Saturday evening or Sunday morning where we just kind of quiet our hearts. I don't know how many of you really know the German, but in verse 9 of Exodus 20, where God was saying what they should do, where He gave the commandments there. And in verse 9, it says how we have 6 days to work and do all our work. It says there in the last, after there's a comma in there. But in the German, it gives the idea of setting everything in order. Maybe you get that out of the English too, but I think the German brings it out a little more. We have 6 days to work and then set everything in order for the next day is what it appears like in the German. I was very blessed with that encouragement, and I needed that encouragement to set everything in order. And in other words, not having a late evening on Saturday. Get to bed, get your sleep, so you can be here and be attentive, as it was mentioned.
Amen.
I bless God for that admonition.
You know, I have to think of my background. That's a strong point in the Anabaptists. You know, in my background, growing up as a farmer, Dad always had us throw all the hay down for Sundays on Saturday, and you know, he was strict on that, on making preparation wherever we could as a family. You know, not doing more work on that day than was needed. Anyone else? There's a sister.
I guess I was just really convicted about not sharing on a Sunday morning, and I just really need God to give me courage to just speak up and testify of what He's done in my heart, and what a blessing it was to be here, and I just really thank the brothers that have shared today that they gave their hearts to studying and ministering to our hearts today, and I just want to be a blessing and give to the hearts that might be hurting or just needing encouragement, and I just really need God to a need in my life right now is to just share, because I see that I have for so long, especially the setting I came out of, we never shared, and it's just hard for me, and I just need to have that broken in my life. Thank you. Amen.
I'd like to just capitalize on that a little. It's such a blessing when you sisters share, or in a prayer meeting Saturday mornings, where you open up your heart and just pour your heart out before the Lord. A meek and quiet spirit just coming forth in prayer or a testimony is just so beautiful. I just cherish it and appreciate it very much when it happens. Another sister? Go ahead.
I especially appreciate the challenge to pray together. That's been a burden on my heart for my own life, is to be more of a praying woman and full of prayer. And that was the desire that was stirring in my heart before the service. As we sat here, I thought I wanted to be a part of that, praying before the service. And so that vision just sparked my interest that we can do that. We can gather up here in the corner, and me and my girls, whoever wants to join, and we could pray together. We don't have to have something formal prepared. We can just gather together and pray for the service too. And so that blessed me.
This house is to be called the house of prayer. Amen. Oh, this is a blessing. Any more? All right. God bless each one of you for sharing. Just adds so much to us, to a given service. Such a joy to hear from your hearts what God is doing and what God has spoken to you about. All right, Brother Tim, why don't we have a song, and then we'll have the announcements after that.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.